For those who are listening online at a later time, sorry, I forgot to tape the worship time. We just had an amazing time of worshiping the Lord together. I'll sum up for those who are online, because I'm going to be speaking a little bit to it as well. George felt led to come forward and share battle cry from the Hebrew, but the English is be strong and courageous, and just seeking to knock down those walls and the walls. I was just discerning that the walls were walls of timidity. And we had sung a song earlier about we are more than conquerors. Like God has made us more than conquerors. We're not defeated. We're victors. And to just walk that out. And so, Lord, yes, break down our walls of timidity, of fear of man, of fear of whatever, Lord God, just break them down. And yes, we want to be gentle and kind, but this does not mean weak and doormat. This means in the strength of the Lord to walk forward. And so, sorry I didn't tape that. Again, for those listening later online, you should have been here. No. It's so beautiful how the Lord just orchestrates. And sometimes just need a reminder of that. This week, or the last few weeks, the Lord has just had a few different people come into my life, Bible study, people writing, my own personal study, listening to people online, a number of places, but just brought to my mind the account of the Canaanite woman. And the Canaanite woman is found in Matthew 15. We're going to be hitting a few passages, and I'll probably just reference them. You can read them for yourselves because, anyways. So if you remember the account properly, this Canaanite woman comes to the Lord in Matthew chapter 15, and her daughter is demon possessed and or demon oppressed, demonized, and the woman comes and asks the Lord for the healing of her daughter. And interesting, I was pointing out this men's Bible study that I was a part of, just went to it. It was pointed out that, so when she first comes to Jesus, Jesus is silent. He just doesn't answer her. And then what happens is the disciples try and shoo her away, like, go away. Can't you see he's busy? And just that kind of thing. But the woman keeps pressing in, and then Jesus actually addresses her and says, I'm not sent to your people. I'm sent to the lost sheep of Israel. You know, just, and she keeps pressing in. And then Jesus says, you don't take the bread of the children and give them to their dogs. And yet she keeps pressing in, and she says, yeah, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Like, you know, and he says, for such a reply, go, your faith is great. Your daughter's healed. And so this persistence of this woman, and then at the Bible study as well, it was pointed out the Luke 18 passage of the persistent widow, the parable of the persistent widow, where she comes to the unrighteous judge and she pleads for justice against her adversary and one that's coming against her family. And the judge, no, 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 no. But eventually he's like, you know what? This woman's going to wear me out. And okay, I'm going to give her justice. I don't fear God. I don't care about men, but I'm going to give her justice. And Jesus says, how much quicker, how much faster will your heavenly Father see that, you know, your prayers are heard and justice will be poured out? You know, like, how much quicker is God going to do it? If this unrighteous judge, you know, walks this out, how much more the righteous judge, the one, right? And it's just like, oh, I was meditating on this. And again, like, there's been a number of times where this has been brought up in a number of different ways over the past few weeks. And I've been meditating on it and praying about it and thinking about it. Um, in 2 Corinthians 12, see, 2 Corinthians 12 is where Paul, he talks about being caught up into the third heaven and all these amazing things that he saw, inexpressible things, things that he wasn't even permitted to share with us, you know. And we know from his testimony that he was taught the gospel and the things that he was preaching by the Lord himself, you know, caught up. He doesn't know whether it was in the body or out of the body even. It was just such an amazing experience. Like, it could have been in the body. It might have been out of the body. I don't know. I don't know how these things work, basically, is what he's saying. But I know that I met with him. But because of these revelations, the Lord sent a thorn in his flesh. He had a thorn in his flesh. And he calls it a messenger of Satan. And he pleads with the Lord. He asks the Lord three times for this thorn in the flesh to be removed. And eventually the Lord answers him, "No, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness." And so then he's like, "Well, I will glory in more, all the more in my weaknesses then. I will boast about my weaknesses if it gives glory to God." The way that fits with what I just shared is this. I've often gone to the Lord with prayer, in prayer, and asked for things. Now first, okay, so before I go on now, you know me, I'll caveat a little bit. When we go to the Lord in prayer, a few people have asked me recently, like, how do I pray? You know, great question, right? Well, first of all, there's the Lord's Prayer. You know, the disciples asked the same prayer. So, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done," and so on, right? Yes. But then I also share with people, pray the kingdom. And this is where, like, when Frida shares this, be in the Word. When Frida shares that, and we've shared that many times, and I can't stress it enough. Be in the Word. Be in the Word. Because in the Word is where God has revealed to us who He is, what His heart is, what His character is, and what who we are, and what our inheritance is, and what His kingdom is, and all of it. It's there in His Word. And the beautiful thing is we don't have to read His Word just on our own. We now have the Holy Spirit living in us. We don't have to interpret it on our own. We don't have to try and figure it out. The Holy Spirit is our teacher. He is our rabbi, right? And this is why Jesus said, "It's better that I go so that the Helper can come." Because Jesus, who is God manifest in physical form, the fullness of deity dwelling in bodily form, He could only be in one place at one time. That was one of His self-imposed limitations, if you will. Like, that's what it means to be incarnate. But praise God, Yahweh is three in one. He is Father, Son, Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is everywhere, always. And so He's like, "I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, and that way I don't have to walk with you physically everywhere. I will be with you, but not just with you, in you. I will live in you. I won't just tell you things from the outside. I will tell you things from your spirit, and I will actually start transforming you from the inside," okay? So it's like, "Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord." And so be in the Word. Be in prayer, time with the Lord, quietness with God, in His presence. We're always in His presence, but ask for the manifest presence of God. He dwells between the cherubim. Yes, He dwells everywhere, but He dwells between the cherubim in the Holy of Holies. And now the Holy of Holies is, He has made our spirit His Holy of Holies. And He dwells there. And He pours out from that place. So we're in the Word, and He teaches us from the Word. The reason I bring this up is because, so back to the whole, what do I pray? Well, you pray the kingdom of God, and He will show you what His kingdom is and what His inheritance for us is, what He says, not what the world says, not what the enemy says, what He says. He will show us. And so if you pray the kingdom of God, whatever you know the kingdom of God to be, okay, we don't know everything. At least I don't. I'll speak for myself. I don't know everything, but I do know a lot. Like, there are things that we do know. Just because you don't know everything doesn't mean you don't know anything. Don't believe that lie, because sometimes we think, oh, because I don't know everything, I don't know anything. No, no, we know a lot. He has revealed a lot in his word. And if you see the truths of the kingdom in his word, when you see them, pray that. Just pray that, because you know it's his will. There is a passage, like actually John, in a number of places, John 14, verse 13 and 14, John 15, 16, John 16, 23 to 26. It says over and over again, ask in Jesus' name. Well, what does that mean? It means asking as if Jesus himself were speaking. You're asking according to his will, according to what he has revealed. Okay? Jesus only said what he saw, or what he heard the Father saying. He only did what he saw the Father doing. So too we. We only do what we see the Father doing. We only say what the Father says. Well, how can we know that? Well, Jesus. Jesus is the fullness of deity dwelling in bodily form. So we ask in his name. We ask according to what he says, what he has won, what he has done. Right? Does that make sense? Following? Right? And so if you know Jesus' will, pray that. If you know the kingdom, and the kingdom is his will, right? Like, pray that. Our inheritance, what he has given us, what he has made us, even this whole more than conquerors, that's a fact. Okay? Romans, that's where it comes from, right? Isn't that Romans 8? I think it's Romans 8. Anyone think so? Yes. Okay, got no objections. We're more than conquerors. That's a fact. Even the one song we were singing about holiness, and as we were singing about the Lord being eternally holy, okay? Eternally holy, it was hitting me as we were singing, that's our inheritance as well. Hebrews chapter 10, we have been made holy. This is the miracle. This is the miracle of the cross. You have been made holy. Now, Hebrews 10 also says you are being made holy. So, if you've been to Bible study, we've been through this, but I'll repeat it here. In our spirits, we have been made holy. In our souls, this is where we are being made holy. In our mind, in our emotions, in our will, we are being transformed. We have the mind of Christ. Now we got to start using the mind of Christ. We got to start aligning with the mind of Christ. We got to stop thinking like the world, right? Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, right? And we are being transformed. We're working out our salvation with fear and trembling, right? But this is fact. Your eternity, you will be holy. For eternity. Like, for eternity. Thank you. Like, thank you. I will be eternally pure, eternally consecrated, eternally able to enter the Holy of Holies boldly, right? Like it says in Hebrews, boldly, not cautiously even, boldly, right? And so it's like, okay, so pray that. You pray that. Now, specifically, back to the Canaanite woman, she was looking for healing for her daughter, especially like she was looking to for her to be set free from this demon, okay? Well, we know in the kingdom of God, like for eternity, we will not have to deal with demons. We know. Now, right now, there is a battle going on. But we don't have to accept these strongholds. If you see a stronghold in your life where the enemy, again, back to Paul, this messenger of Satan. If you see this stronghold, you come against it in Jesus' name. Get out. Just get out. You ask questions like, Holy Spirit, why is this able to stay? If it doesn't leave, right, why? Show me. It'll probably, like, I know in my life, he has shown me places where I have agreed with the enemy, Okay? And we've talked about this before, where with God, it's always his empowering presence, like grace through faith. Always grace through faith. Grace, definition, the empowering presence of God, enabling us to be what God has called us to be. That grace, his empowering presence, comes through our belief in him, our believing what he says. Well, that same principle works with the enemy. His empowering presence, the enemy's empowering presence, when we believe what he says. Right? So, Lord, show me where I'm believing the enemy instead of believing you. And then you say, oh, Lord, I see it now. I've been agreeing with the enemy. Forgive me. I confess it. Confess your sin. He is faithful and just to forgive your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Just cleanse me from that. Like, I don't want to believe that anymore. Oh, that's dirty. That's ugly. I've been walking in this muck for how long? Just cleanse me from it. And it takes away the enemy's stronghold, right? Pray the kingdom. Pray the kingdom. Where I struggled, and this is a lie that Jesse and I were talking about this week. The Lord has exposed a lie / wrong way of walking things out. And I repent. It's like, oh, Lord, I changed my mind. Repent means to change your mind, right? I don't want to think like that anymore. I don't want to walk that out anymore. So here's how it would go, right? So there would be something in my life, whether it's a physical sickness, because we know that healing is guaranteed, right? We're not going to be sick in heaven. I hope everyone knows that. No sickness, right? So that's part of our inheritance. By his stripes we are healed. We know that that's the kingdom. So I always say, with regards to sickness, always pray the kingdom. Just pray the kingdom. We know. Okay. But here's where I made the mistake. When we walk that out, we pray it, and it doesn't happen right away. It doesn't manifest right away in our real time. Okay? Like, because we are on a timeline, and God knows that, and God has that language. And so we don't need to play semantics. We don't need to play word games. Okay? Like, but it doesn't happen again. So, the Canaanite woman comes to the Lord. Would you heal my daughter? The Lord's silent. Doesn't happen right away. What does she do? Does she walk away? Well, I guess. Shrug her shoulders. Just walk away. Well, I guess he didn't. I guess he's not answering me, you know, and da-da-da. Move the other way, right? No, she presses in. Disciples try and shoo her away. And, oh, I was thinking about this one. It's like, oh, God, forgive me and forgive us as the church where we've shooed people away from your presence when they're seeking a healing, whether it's physical healing, whether it's healing in the emotions or healing in relationships or, you know, forgive us for where we shoo each other away from your presence. And the disciples did this. The disciples did it to the little children. Oh, get the little children. Jesus is busy. You know, get them away from Jesus. Jesus loves the little children. Jesus loves when the sick come to him. Jesus loves when the hurting come to him. Okay? What I often did in those situations, not often, most of the time, if not all the time, actually, except for a few times in my life, and one of those little miracles is in the other room right now, I didn't walk away. I kept pressing in. But what I have often, the default, when you don't hear that answer, when that answer doesn't manifest right away, there's two ways you can go. Press in, or 2 Corinthians 12, my grace is sufficient. Now, I truly believe that the Lord does say to some people at times, does say to us at times, my grace is sufficient for you. Like, I know it's a messenger of Satan, but like in Paul's case, it was in order to keep you from becoming proud because of these amazing revelations, this is my will right now. It's not going to be for eternity, but right now. It's like, okay. But the Holy Spirit will make that incredibly clear. And as I thought about this and meditated on it, 2 Corinthians 12 is the outlier, if you will. But I would run there right away. the Lord would delay in answering. You know, it seems like he was ignoring me, kind of like he ignored, quote, he wasn't ignoring the Canaanite woman, but it seemed like he was, because he was seeing, will she press in? Will she press in? Does she know who I am? Does she know my heart for her? You know, this was being pointed out at the Bible study. And as this was being pointed out, it was just like, it was flooding over me. It's like, oh, yes, Lord. Oh, how I've failed in this. Oh, how I've failed to understand your character and your heart. Oh, God, I've believed the accusations that the enemy brings against you. Oh, God. Cleanse me from it. Forgive me. Oh, Lord, right? Will I just walk away, or will I press in? Will I press in? Will I press in? But my default was, as soon as there's a little bit of delay or as soon as there's some silence, I walk towards, well, I guess God is saying to me, my grace is sufficient for you, Kevin. What would have happened with her daughter if she would have walked away? Right? She wouldn't have been healed. Now, there is still mystery. I don't understand why the delay sometimes. God has his reasons. And this is where, again, it was pointed out at the Bible study. I love it. God is God. When that was said, I don't know if you remember when that was said in the Bible study, like, God is God, I'm not. I'm reminded of the movie Rudy, and Rudy goes to the priest, and he starts talking to the priest about the movie Rudy Football, Notre Dame. Yes? Yeah. Okay, good. Hopefully some. No? Oh, well. There's this guy who wants to be on the Notre Dame football team, for those of you who don't know the movie, and it's just not going the way he wants, and he's like, he goes to the priest, and asks, and the priest has this great line. He goes, in all my study, I've come to two conclusions. I'm paraphrasing a little bit. There is a God, and I'm not him. We've come to a few more conclusions than that. But that's the truth. You let God be God. Okay? Don't try and do his job. I don't know always why he delays. He does. We see it in Scripture. For instance, in John chapter 11, Lazarus is sick. His good friend, Mary and Martha's brother, right? Jesus hears about it. It says that he stayed where he was for 2 days. He purposely stayed away. He purposely delayed. Now, he made it known in that instance why. Because he wanted to reveal himself as the resurrection and the life. They had already seen that he was healer. And he had even raised some people from the dead, but not those who had been dead for 4 days. And there's significance in that in Jewish thought, in the Jewish thinking. There was significance to the fact that he was dead for 4 days. But he delayed. And the sisters are like, if you would have been here, he wouldn't have died. And that's true. It's true. I love it. But even now, I know the Father. I know you can do it. You can do whatever you want to do. You're in charge. And Jesus raises him from the dead. I don't know why the Lord delays at times. I don't understand all of his ways. But I've come to this conclusion. If you are praying the kingdom, so you're praying in Jesus' name, not just your own fancies and your own wants and your own stuff. Oh, Lord, I'd like $1 million. You know, No. Okay? But you're praying the kingdom. You're praying salvation for loved ones. You're praying for healing for loved ones or for yourself. You're praying and you're meditating on and just the kingdom of God stuff. Courage. Strength and courage. Oh, please pray for me. Strength and courage. Like Paul says, pray that I would be bold, you know, in the Lord. And I'm going to pray the same for you. These are things of the kingdom. Okay? We know it. We are praying. When you pray that, you're praying in Jesus' name. You don't have to even question because it's in Scripture. If he delays for whatever reason, again, you don't need to know the reason. You can ask. You can ask. There's nothing wrong with asking. But if he doesn't answer, don't be surprised. Okay? If he delays, I have come to the conclusion that the default is not to head to 2 Corinthians 12 and say, well, I guess God is saying my grace is sufficient for you. My default, I believe the biblical default is to press in more. to meditate on the word more, to ask more. It reminds me of Luke chapter 11. Ask, and we've heard sermons on this before. In the Greek, in the English, it doesn't translate it quite right, because it just says ask and it will be given to you, seek and you'll find, knock and the door will be opened to you. The Greek actually says something more like ask and continue to ask, seek and continue to seek, knock and keep knocking. And this aligns with the parables that we see, the teaching of Christ, where, you know, you're in a field, you know there's a treasure there, you keep digging. After you dig one hole looking for the treasure and you don't find it in that first shovel full, you don't say, well, I tried. I dug, Lord. I looked. I sought. No, you keep digging. You've been promised. There's a treasure in this field. You keep digging until you find it. And the Holy Spirit will fill you with the knowledge and the wisdom and all that you need to find it. And he also might make it such that there's delay. Why? Maybe one of the reasons is just to see if you'll persevere in it. This Canaanite woman, it says she had been asking. I'm going to turn there, actually. So Matthew 15. I've been paraphrasing so far, but I'll read here. Matthew 15, leaving that place, verse 21. Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him, crying out, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession. Jesus did not answer her a word, so his disciples came to him and urged him, send her away, and this is a great phrase, for she keeps on crying out after us. It reminds me of the blind man, right? Oh, Bartimaeus. Love Bartimaeus. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. The disciples, May we not be like this. And nothing against the disciples, because I've made the same mistake. I've sinned in the same way that they were. Okay? I was going to just call it a mistake. It's not a mistake. It's sin. And they're like, be quiet. Be quiet. Be quiet. Well, what does Bartimaeus do? Cries all the louder, it says. Jesus, Son of David. No one's going to keep me quiet. I'm going to chase after Jesus until he answers me one way or the other, because I know his heart. And how much more are we who have been saved and filled with the Holy Spirit? Don't we know his heart? Don't we know that he's a good father, right? He hears us. He's attentive to our voice. He knows us. He is tender towards us, right? And so we keep on crying. We keep on asking. That's the default. Now, I know that there are those of us, I'm a part of this as well, there are others here who can 100% truthfully say, I've done that with certain things, and it didn't turn out the way I longed for. And we're not talking small things here. Okay? We're not talking small little things, like I didn't get the job I wanted. Not that that's... But comparatively to what we've walked out in this church, that's small. Again, God is God. His way, I don't understand. And unless the Holy Spirit explains it to us, it's just, okay, I trust you with it, Lord. I trust you with it. But unless what I'm offering today is, unless I specifically hear the Lord saying, my grace is sufficient for you. This is actually my will. You keep pressing in. You keep calling. So again, send her away, for she keeps crying out after us. And so then Jesus answers, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. The woman came and knelt before him. Lord, help me, she said. He replied, it's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs. Yes, Lord, she said, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall on the table, the master's table. And it's just like, she just keeps pressing and pressing. It keeps coming, keeps asking. Then Jesus answered, woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. One last thing I want to share, and then I'll open it up for questions and comments. Just got to gather my thoughts here. Great faith. Sometimes I think the enemy wants to play mind games with us. Actually, I know the enemy wants to play mind games. I can attest. I'm sure others can attest. The enemy loves to play games. God is not a game player, by the way. If you ever feel like, little aside, if you ever feel like or sense or discern that you're in the midst of a game-playing situation, you can be guaranteed it's not God. God's not a game player. He does test us. He does things that we would find a little bit unorthodox or different, but he has a purpose in it. He's not messing with you for the sake of seeing you squirm. Okay? He's not like that. Sometimes with regards to faith, like we know that in Capernaum, Jesus could not do many miracles there because of their lack of faith. When the disciples tried to cast out a demon at one point, but they couldn't, he says, it's because you have such little faith. Often Jesus would say to people, may it be done to you according to your faith. And so faith is important. Absolutely. Believe God. Okay? Believe him. Believe what he says. He is the healer. Believe it. He is our Savior. Believe it. He is our provider. Believe it. Okay? But sometimes the enemy comes along when there's a gap of waiting. The enemy comes along and says, it's because you don't have faith. And he accuses. The accuser of the brethren. Oh, it's because you don't have faith. It's like, I don't think that's true. Like, I do have faith. I know that God is God. I know that He is these things. He is the healer. He is the provider. He is. Like, I know that. I don't necessarily know his timing in all of it, but I know that he is. No, it's because you don't have faith. Now, some people might truly be walking that out where they don't have faith. And if the Lord is showing that to you, first of all, he won't be playing games and he won't be pushing you down. He'll be inviting you into faith. Okay? When the Lord corrects, there is this conviction, this holy conviction, and invitation. When the enemy accuses, it's always a pushing down and nothing is good enough. He's just beating you down with all he's got. Okay? Don't think that great faith, like because something isn't being answered right away, that you don't have faith. Again, might be. You need to take that to the Lord, but not necessarily. The great faith that she had was displayed in this. She kept on coming to the Lord. When circumstance tried to push her away and get her to turn around and just go back home, she kept coming. And it's like again, was pointed out at the Bible study. Like, somehow she knew his heart. She didn't even have the Holy Spirit living in her. The cross hadn't even... There's no death in the resurrection yet. And yet we do know Christ crucified from the foundation of the world. But it just amazes me. This Gentile, it's like with the centurion. I haven't found such great faith in all of Israel. Like, and then there's this foreigner here who just believes. Like, this is incredible. And he was amazed at his faith, right? The great faith is in the pursuit. And just like, I know this is your heart, Lord. I know this is your character. I know this is your kingdom. I know this is my, and as believers, I know this is my inheritance. I know. You've already promised it. You've already said. I'm not imposing anything on you, Lord, right? You have told me. I'm not telling you what my inheritance should be. You have told me. I'm not demanding that you love me. You loved me even when I hated you. I'm not imposing my self-will on you. You have told me your will. Like, that's what I'm bringing to you. I'm just speaking back the words that you spoke to me. That's all. I'm just laying it out there. And now you do as you will do. Like, you are God. I'm not. But I'm asking because I know your heart. I'm asking because I know your will. I'm asking because I know more and more my inheritance that you have chosen to give, to give me. That's why I'm asking. Now, at that point, I would say, too, the one thing I definitely don't know is the timing always. Because, again, whether it's 2 days for Lazarus or 2 years or I'm just like, okay, maybe God will teach me more and more about that as I get older. But right now, I'm not at a place where I can say I know his timing. But I do know his will. And so, where does that leave me? It leaves me at this place. When I am praying in Jesus' name, I know it's according to his will. I know it is according to what is revealed. And it's not answer, it's not manifest that moment in my life. My default will be, I'll keep coming. I'll enter into the Holy of Holies with boldness and joy and love, faith and faithfulness. And I'll keep asking. I'll keep bringing it out. Like Paul asked 3 times, and I imagine if the Lord hadn't answered him with, my grace is sufficient for you, he would have asked a 4th, and he would have asked a 5th, and he would have asked a 6th. He would have just kept coming. And unless the Lord reveals to me, my grace is sufficient for you, unless that is made very clear to me, I'm just going to keep coming like the Canaanite woman. I'm going to ask and keep on asking. I'm going to seek, keep on seeking. I'm going to knock, keep on knocking. I see that as being the great faith in Matthew 15. I'm going to pray and then I'll open it up. Lord, thank you. Thank you for everything that you revealed to us. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you would continue to explain it to us. But not just to our minds. I thank you that you don't just explain it to our minds, but you reveal it to our hearts. You reveal it in those deep places. I pray that you would reveal these things in those deep places, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for all that you won. You made a way where there was no way. You saved us. You rescued us. You adopted us. Not only that, we as the church, we're your bride. Thank you for all that you've done. And we come to you knowing your heart for us. We praise you. I pray persistence. Mm-hmm. The verse is coming to me right now where it talks about Jesus setting his mind as flint as he headed towards Jerusalem. That's where I'm going. That kind of persistence. That kind of resolution in the things of God and the kingdom of God. I pray that over us in the name of Jesus, as well as the strength and courage that we were praying for before. I pray that over us in the name of Jesus. And I pray that all the walls of the enemy and false walls, the lying walls, would be just torn down in our lives. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Are there any comments or questions? All right. Yep.
I have a vision 3 weeks ago. I haven't quite formulated it enough yet to share it. I just wanted to say that this was definitely affirmation. Like God was in these words. Like I'm different. Because of what God has spoken to me this morning. So I just wanted to say that. But yeah, I'll let you know this picture that God is. I don't have it quite yet. He's working on it in me first. So yeah.
I love that. So even in that, there's a timing in it. And it's that place of, Lord, if there's anything in me that's slowing down the process, I pray that you'd reveal it, you know? But there's also a perfect timing in it. So, and thank you. Praise God. Like when you say you're changed, because praise God. Like all glory to God, right? He's doing something in us.
Yeah. I think something God's doing in me lately is I have a lot of burdens in my life that I care about, and I've noticed that recently since coming back, I felt a little bit of the weight of my burdens, and I think it's because when I'm out, I'm usually like, all right, I'm out, this is all on you, you know. But when I'm home, I think I've realized that I carry a little bit of the weight of my life and the things that God has put on my heart. But I think about something God has in this word that God is really reminding me of is like, cast your cares on the Lord because he cares for you. And that faith in the Lord's care. And it's like I know you care about these things, you know. And I know that you just want me to let you take care of me, you know, and take care of all the burdens you've put in my life, and not to be like, not to put it on myself, because it's like when I do that, then I'm anxious, you know, and I'm not filled with faith. And it was a really good word.
As Jesse shared that, I got this sense of there might be some people here who don't believe that God cares for you. And again, like Frida alluded it to her in her testimony, a lot of us grew up in the same kind of, you know, I won't talk about that today, like, you know, about everything there. But one of the things that I know I came away with that, and the church didn't want it. It's not like the church was purposely doing this. I grew up in a wonderful church, okay, that loves the Lord and preached the word and all that. But what I came away sometimes is, God might not love me that much. And so I want to pray for you. And you don't have to raise hands, but if you struggle with knowing, and I mean knowing, please, not theologically. I'm not interested in Now, if you don't know theologically that he loves you and cares for you, then that's another problem, because you need to understand it theologically first. Maybe not, actually. I don't know. But anyways, that's important too. But I mean the knowing. The deep knowing that you are loved. That you are cared for. I remember Randy Foreman often saying, so many problems would be solved in the church if we just understood how much God loves us. And so, if that's you, yeah, you can.
Yes, before we pray about that, just a small testimony that the Lord, that I went through with the Lord. Back when I was younger, Bible school, met this girl, thought she was the one. I asked the Lord, he said no. You know, then I asked again, he said no. Then I asked a few more times, he kept saying no. And then, but yeah, so it got to this point where, like, I'm hurting, right? You know, I got emotional about, like, yeah, I'm like, Lord. And the Lord said, I still remember very clearly, like, you built this city around this woman, and now I have to tear it down, and it's gonna hurt. So there was hurt in it, but there was still that love. So like, the reason I wanted to share it was, just because we're hurting, that's not the Lord. Like, yeah, the lie is, oh, that's the Lord not loving you, but no, that is the Lord loving you.
So good. So if you are struggling with understanding and knowing, the knowing that you are loved, that God cares for you, I'm just going to pray for you. You don't have to, hey, that's me. The Lord knows. So Lord, I pray that you tear down the lie, the walls that say you don't love me. And I pray that, Holy Spirit, would you speak it so clearly? I pray that you'd send the angels to sing it in your name, on your behalf, to speak it, to remind us over and over again. And whoever is hurting, whoever has believed that lie, first of all, I forgive anyone who has spoken into my life or into any of our lives anything that would cause us to believe that you don't love us or that you don't care for us. I forgive whoever spoke those lies. Just pray blessing on them. I pray that they'd be set free as well. Whether it's family or church, denomination, whatever. And now I pray, Lord, that you would fill that place. Even as you tear down the city, you tear it down so that you can build up your kingdom in us. And I pray that you'd build up those holy places. And in this particular subject, that you love us. May we hear it. May we hear it in the depth of our being. May we know it. You love us and you care for us. You are loved. You are loved by the Lord. For God so loved you that he gave his only begotten Son. That's how much. He loves you. He loves me. So I pray that blessing in the name of Jesus. Amen. Yeah. Anyone else?
Yeah, I think there was a miracle happened this morning because, first of all, Morgan called me, asked me to sub in for her for childcare, and then it was only Emily here with her kids, so I said to Emily, oh, you want me to come in and do childcare? And she's like, oh, it's just my kids. Don't worry about it. Go sit down, which I was really praying to God that I wanted to just sit and listen today, and I think what you said, God really spoke to me through it. And I just want to, there's something God's speaking to me that I need to walk out. And so it's like that boots on the ground. It's like that, okay, now I've got to walk this out. So it's just, yeah.
Anyway. Amen. Amen. Oh, praise God. Praise God. And I can't emphasize enough, when the Holy Spirit speaks, please listen. I wonder how much of the city you could have avoided if you listened to him the first time, right? And this reminds me of the testimony of the knee. God says, don't jump rope. Don't jump rope. Just don't do it. Right? Praise God. Anyone else?
I just love how we, along with your words, we build each other up. And that's what we're called to do. And yeah, it's encouragement, and yeah, knowing you're okay, and yeah, which adds, you know, then we have that strength in Christ, and I was able to show that this week with my dad's passing, in the many, many cousins and such that, you know, you never see anymore, and then everybody. You know, of course, they show up at a gathering such as that. But through many different questions of things, or what do you do now? And says, I follow the Lord, and I love listening to my Christian music. It's like, whoa, really? So I was able to expand on that in some aspects with some of my cousins, and along with the last. Times with my dad, so I was able to, focus on the importance of giving your life to Christ and alone, and not all the other stuff that comes with Catholic. And yeah, I pray he took that to heart. He was a little confused, but I feel good that he's with the Lord and back with my mom. Thanks for praying for me and my family.
Yeah, that's good.
I'm supposed to be at the end. So if anybody else.
He's not going for the mic, so the mic is still open. Yep. Oh, there you go. Yep. And then Julie.
Yeah, I don't know. Just the, you mentioned Luke 18, how it's kind of parallel to the Canaanite woman. And just the one part where, Jesus says, hear what the unrighteous judge says. He's comparing himself to the unrighteous judge. And will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? And I just think that is what has kind of convicted me. I feel like the last, few weeks or month or whatever, it's been a bit of a blur and just a lot of busyness and stuff with work. And just, I feel like I haven't gone to God in my, I haven't cried out to him when I feel overwhelmed or stressed, just going to other things or whatever, just feeling like I can solve problems on my own. And so I just want to repent for that. And I just want to, I want to get back to crying out to him and just relying on him in everything. Yeah, because, and I just also the next few verses, so it says, and will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? And I just think that crying out is like, it is a part of faith. Like, and it's like, I think sometimes we try and figure out what the definition of faith, and I think there's a lot of things that are entailed in faith, but one key part is that it's that reliance on God. And I think, yeah, it's not just about believing in him, it's like that reliance on him. So just encourage you all.
Yeah, in that passage as well, the will he find faith on the earth? I was praying about that this week, and I just got this picture. When he comes back, will he find people still pressing in? Or will he, you see that, oh, well, I guess he's not answering, and we'll be just doing our own thing. And it's like, no, faith is reliance and pressing in. Yeah. Julie?
I have too many things to say about praying, but that's for another day, I think, for me. But what I was going to say is, when you were saying, do you really know that God loves you? I think that oftentimes we, like, see, okay, what's the world's definition of love? And what we need to see is what God's love looks like. And sometimes it's totally different, and it's, I think when we press into the Word and just really understand His love, then it's like, okay, it's not performance, it's not like huggy and kissy, it's His love that we have to understand, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
And that's why it's so important to be in the Word and in prayer and allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you what His definitions are, what He says. It's good. Anyone else? All right. Hand it over to Craig. And you can close it off then, too.
Yeah, so a couple of things. I don't know what order to go in. Whatever. In the being courageous thing, I know we talked about having songs on the website. It's really hard to say this. They're good songs. Go to the website. Listen to the songs. And some of them are able to convey the feeling more than the band that we have. The last one that we did is on there. It's my current favorite song. Anyway, go to the website. They're good. Second thing, George, when you came up during the worship or whatever and with the battle cry, I struggle so much with shouting. So I noticed the sign this morning when I came in, and I'm like, oh, it's because we've talked about this for ages, and it ties into so many things, but it's, you know, the Lord says, you need a sign, and so, okay, so we go and lightly write Emmanuel Grace. It's like, there's a sign, Lord, and I know he's going like, but is it a sign, really? Like, I know technically it's a sign, but it's not a sign. It's you trying to, well, see, I did it. It's my kids being like, well, I cleaned up. No, you didn't. Yeah, it was the same thing this morning. It was, you know, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Well, yeah, I did it, right? And I missed it earlier, where it's like, no, I was supposed to say that with my chest. So then, yeah, just with stuff coming up. And then Mel, especially when you came up. So an encouragement from me to the rest of the body, because that's part of it. I'm going to do it without the mic. So be strong! Be courageous! Put your faith in the Lord God Almighty! Oh. It's not a battle cry if it's not a cry. So anyway, thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Craig, you're up. There you go. All right. Oh, blessings. Blessings. Amen.